Good morning. Welcome to another New Life Virtual Worship Service. Our vision here at New Life Church is to be a church for a changed life, for a diverse community, and for a radical impact. During this COVID-19 pandemic and with social distancing and restrictions on gathering, we've focused in the past year on staying connected and keeping community. That aspect of community has been important for us to maintain and to focus on. And we certainly want to keep the vision for a changed life and for a diverse community, but with a new year, time has come now to shift our focus. It's time, a new time, for us to recognize God's persistent call to join Him on mission and to serve the people around us. So in the coming weeks and months, you'll be hearing staff and ministry leaders speaking often about serving and for opportunities for all of us to serve. And you'll be encouraged to exercise a servant heart, and you'll be invited into service that extends the love of Jesus into the lives of people of our community. So as we join together today in worship, pray with me. Pray with me that God would stir our hearts with a passion to serve Him and to serve those around us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that as we gather here together this morning in worship to you, we pray, God, that you will fill our hearts with a passion to heed your call, to love and to serve our neighbor. Lord Jesus, we worship you. You give us life. Almighty God, we bow before you. You are our master. We are your servants. Equip us, we pray, and fill our hearts with love and devotion as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Thank you to our amazing worship team for leading us together in worship as a community, no matter where we happen to be in the world. Good morning, New Life Church. Our names are Terry and Yvonne Hackett, and we are hosting this week's Sunday service from our home in the Philippines. It's been over 2 years since we left for Manila when we accepted a position with the International Committee of the Red Cross, where I worked to help various authorities in Southeast Asia improve the humanitarian conditions within prisons and jails.
We have been members of New Life Church for over 15 years, and although we may be far away, we still feel very much connected to the New Life community through online services and through our amazing life group. We connect regularly through Zoom and WhatsApp to encourage one another, have fellowship, and pray together. This connection is truly a blessing. Speaking of connection, New Life Connects is for anyone who is interested in membership, baptism, or profession of faith. The next class is starting on Monday, January 25th, for 3 consecutive weeks. This class will take place online using a video chat platform called Zoom. If you are interested in attending the class online, please email the office.
Today's offering is for the ministry we do in partnership with New Life Church in Lori, Honduras. Normally, around this time of year, we would send a team from New Life Abbotsford to assist with various projects in the Lori community. But we cannot do that this year because of the pandemic. We continue to work with our bridging organization, World Renew, to provide assistance and encouragement. The people of Lori are attempting to recover from 2 major hurricanes. Jobs are very hard to come by, and food is even more expensive, with supply lines cut off by washed-out roads and damaged bridges. World Renew is looking to raise $100,000 from Canadian churches to help in communities like Lori affected by the hurricanes. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. And to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Now please join me in prayer for today's offering. Father God, we praise you for your faithfulness and all the blessings you continue to bestow on us each and every day. We thank you for the technology that gives us this opportunity to come together in your presence as part of your holy church, despite the issues of the pandemic. Lord, we lift up the people of Honduras, including New Life Church and Lori, who are not only dealing with COVID-19 and severe economic hardships, but also the aftermath of 2 devastating hurricanes that hit less than 2 weeks apart. Many of our congregation have personal connections to the community of Lori, and we thank you for those connections and know that they are strong and deep as they are rooted in faith, hope, and love. We pray that these relationships will continue to be strengthened despite the distance and the fact that our team cannot travel to Lori this year. Father, we ask you for your blessing on these funds and that you multiply them 100-fold to allow World Renew to continue their programs and to even scale them up to help meet the needs of the people of Honduras during this challenging time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids starts a new series. This month is called Pixel Party. Each week, we'll be hearing stories from the Gospels about life-changing encounters with Jesus that show us the incredible love that Jesus has for us. To get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video to set up your kids. And when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
All right. Well, welcome. And it's great to be with you again. We're in a series of messages on learning to live more free in a world and in a situation in which we are faced with so many restrictions. We want to talk about living freely, to live in virtues that when Paul reflects on them, he calls them the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Or in other words, what does it mean to learn to live to be more Christ-like? Last week, I mentioned a prayer that well-known theologian John Stott prayed each morning, and it goes like this. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a wonderful prayer, and I'd like to invite you to pray it with me on a daily basis for the duration of this series, perhaps at least. The series ends February 21. But that gives us a bit of a challenge for a precise time to take on this prayer and to join in with the intent of these messages, which is to challenge us to become more Christ-like. To learn what it means to live freely in the Spirit of our God, in the Holy Spirit. And so the prayer will be on the prayer wall in the New Life app, and you can access it there. Otherwise, simply email me, as someone did earlier this week and this past week, and I'll email you the text of the prayer. And you can join me as we pray it on a daily basis. Well, last week we looked then at the virtue of love. This week we're looking at the virtue of joy. And if there is one thing that every human being longs for, strives for, it is to have joy, or at least to be happy in life, to have some sense of contentment, whether it's contentment in security or contentment in acquiring things or contentment in relationships or, man, there's so many different aspects, but we all strive to find that kind of happiness. The curious thing, of course, is that for all the striving we do to achieve joy, we often miss it altogether. And perhaps it's because we sometimes are looking for it in the wrong places, or perhaps we're looking for it in the wrong things. And similarly, we also miss the importance of joy in a passage as we find in John chapter 15, where Jesus is talking about some very serious things, and he's talking with his disciples about his relationship with them, and in the midst of that, He mentions joy, but if we're not paying attention, we may well miss it and the important lessons that accompany it. So listen, as Jesus speaks in John chapter 15, this is the familiar chapter in which he says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener." In verse 5 of chapter 15, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then in verse 9 and following, he says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you can keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Well, that's just a portion of Jesus' conversation, but did you catch it? His mention of joy. What kind of joy are we looking for? And the first thing I think that we need to recognize is that we are looking for joy that is already completed, joy that is already accomplished for us, in fact. And that's how Jesus talks about joy, as something completed. When we read John 15, it's more easy to latch on to Jesus' commands, to his instruction, to abide in him and to love the Father, to love Jesus. My command is this, love each other. And we latch on to those things because those are things we think we can do and accomplish. And so we get thinking that joy, too, is something that we can achieve, something that we can accomplish, something perhaps even that we might deserve as a result of the things we do. In fact, social psychologists often come up with lists of the ways in which we can find the most happiness. And so people that are the happiest often have good health, they say, or realistic goals, or they have optimism, or they have a strong, intimate, fulfilling marriage, or they have a faith that results in hope and purpose. They have fulfilling friendships. They have high self-esteem. They have an outgoing nature. And the problem with those kinds of lists is that they tend to be our checklists or our shopping lists even, and we end up in throughout our lives in striving for joy to try to get all those things. And then our life loses all of its luster of joy. And we make ourselves more miserable trying to accomplish so much in our life. We miss out on joy altogether. See, the thing is, joy is not a prize that we can achieve by acquiring the good things of life. Joy is something that's already completed, something that's already accomplished, something that's already finished. And it's given to us only because of the great Creator's grace. And so as with love, we mentioned it last week, joy is a matter of receiving it as a gift. Completed joy is a feature throughout the Gospel of John in which he keeps reminding us that what we are seeking is completed joy. And so in John chapter 3, when John the Baptist first hears that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, then he records John the Baptist as saying that now John the Baptist's joy is complete because Jesus has come into the world. And Jesus means the same thing in John chapter 15 when he speaks with his disciples about joy, that joy is present because Jesus is in our world. And then at the end of the Gospel of John, at Jesus' crucifixion, John, the writer of the Gospel, uniquely records Jesus' last words on the cross. "It is finished." And what is finished? But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross
which has accomplished for us true joy. So as we strive for that kind of contentedness in life, what we're looking for is completed joy. But there's also another aspect to joy, and that is the harvest of joy. Joy comes in seasons, or as Lewis Smedes writes, joy, he says, is an intermezzo of gratitude that interrupts the routine motion of life. Joy is an intermezzo, an interlude of gratitude that interrupts the routine motions of life. Or in other words, joy comes as an interruption in daily living. In other words, joy is not the end-all and be-all of our lives. Joy is not the definition of our life. It's simply a feature of our lives, an end result. And so also in this passage in John chapter 15, Jesus isn't making joy the theme. That's why we miss it. The theme of our lives is to abide in Jesus. The theme of our life is to love. But the end result is joy. I tell you these things, Jesus says, so that your joy may be complete. But what's he telling us to do? Joy comes from knowing the love of God. Joy arrives when you're loving each other. Joy appears when you have Jesus' words in you, when you abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in you. And you learn to live and breathe his presence. Love is the whole subject of life, but joy is the harvest. Perhaps we even have joy. I mean, that the harvest of joy is right in front of us, but we simply miss it altogether. The problem may be that, well, quite frankly, we're usually just simply waiting for all of the right circumstances to usher us into joy. Or we might simply be wishing for joy, but never quite daring to simply grab hold of it because, well, we're suspicious of joy, afraid that it won't last, or that, as the saying goes, the other shoe will drop. And what we need to do is simply wake up to joy. To see the harvest right in front of us. After all, God created people for joy. There is a sure harvest to be had, a harvest of joy. There's joy that is present because Jesus, the Son of God, is present with us. That's what Jesus is saying in this short verse in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, that joy, in other words, is not a matter of simply wishing for it to meet us in our lives, but joy is the fellowship that we have with Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Completed joy. But joy that comes as a harvest, not as the definition of our life. But here's another thing to look for. As we strive for joy, we need to look for ordinary joy. Because sometimes, and especially in the ordinary events of our lives, we don't show even that our faith delights us or even thrills us. Maybe we just don't think joy and religion mix very well. Some people think that, I suppose, that joy and religion don't belong together, that faith is all too somber of a thing to let joy out. Some people have these pious thoughts of joy that are so deep down joy, so deep that it never surfaces, or worse, so deep that, well, that it just shrivels up and disappears altogether. What we need to look for is ordinary joy. Not a deep, deep down joy, not something that's hidden so far away that we can never reach it, but ordinary joy. Joy that is expressed in the ordinary events of our lives. It's in this particular conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, Jesus is having a very serious conversation. He's speaking about how he must die. He's speaking about how he's going to leave his disciples behind. And in the midst of that, he speaks of joy. In the midst of such seriousness, he recognizes joy in the ordinariness of life. And so also in our lives, as we strive for joy, it's going to show up in the ordinary celebrations of life. Pious joy. Joy that goes so deep that no one ever sees it is actually joy that is suspect. Suspicious joy, in fact. It's a joy that comes out in a slow, stiff voice that is suspicious of too much laughter, or a joy that shows up in over-formal fashion, apprehensive of too much frivolousness. And then pious joy too easily turns into judgmentalism, or into cynicism, or maybe even just into plain old grumpiness. Christopher Wright, in the book that I mentioned last week on the fruit of the Spirit, he writes that maybe we are suspicious of joy. And then he admits, life is a serious business, we may say, and so it is. We may think that Christianity is more than just having a laugh, and so it is. But that doesn't mean that we should not have hearts that are filled with joy when our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit. After all, the Bible shows us very clearly that God not only wants us to be joyful, but he commands it to be so. And so when Paul talks about joy as fruit of the Spirit, and when Jesus talks about joy made complete, they're thinking about a response of joy in every part of our lives. It's no mistake, then, that in the same Gospel of John, the first miracle that Jesus does is as at a wedding party, turning water into wine. At an ordinary celebration of life, he brings joy, completed joy. And the people get to harvest that joy. One final aspect of joy that we need to be seeking out as we strive for that sense of contentment in our lives, and that is enduring joy. I don't know about you, but when I think about joy, I generally think about laughter or celebrations and just all-around carefree living. But when I read John 15, verse 11, I don't catch any of those kind of images. And I can't imagine that the disciples imagined any of those kinds of images as well. When they're hearing things like Jesus is going to die, and when they're hearing things such as that Jesus is going to leave them. Dare I say that even in this passage, it's almost as if Jesus makes joy sound, well, boring, or at least uneventful. But here's the thing. When we are looking for joy, we need to look for enduring joy. Such is the only kind of joy that makes sense as we live in a world filled with hardship and trouble and misery. A world that is badly broken. Lives that are fragmented and troubled. We so easily give in to second-rate happiness that looks and sounds exciting, that looks and sounds as though it's filled with laughter and celebration and carefreeness, but it simply cannot endure. Because the fact is that usually we know more sorrow than joy in our lives. We have more disappointment in our lives than we have delight. And we have more pain than pleasure. And yet the joy of fellowship with Jesus reaches deeper than any sorrow, farther than any disappointment, longer than any pain. And perhaps it's not always a joy of ecstasy or sheer delight, but it is joy nevertheless. Nicholas Wolterstorff writes wonderfully about this. He wrote a book some years ago called Lament for a Son, and it was his reflections of how his life has changed and how his view on life has changed since his son passed away in a hiking accident at 26 years of age. And Nicholas Wolterstorff reflects on all of the things that used to make him happy and give him that sense that of contentment in life, of his pursuit of a grand career and his pursuit of establishing a family and moving into a beautiful house and all of these kinds of things. And then he writes, "I remember delighting in them, trees, art, house, music, pink morning sky, work well done, flowers, books. I still delight in them," he says. "I'm still grateful, but the zest is gone," he writes. "The passion is cooled, the striving is quieted, the longing is stilled." And then he adds, "The joy that comes my way, I savor. But the seeking, the clutching, the aiming is gone. What the world gives, I still accept. But what it promises, I no longer reach for." That is the kind of enduring joy that we strive for, that we seek. A joy that reaches beyond merely the things for which we clamor that we think will make us happy. The promises of this world that say you need this to be happy. We no longer accept those promises. Joy. Joy that reaches farther than sorrow and sadness and cynicism is a joy that will see fulfillment. It's not something that we search out and grab for, but as we said about love, it is a gift. A gift which we expect to receive because we know the salvation of our God. And so we dare to be joyful. Joyful, surely in the real moments of laughter, but also in the absence of pleasure. We dare to be joyful, for joy is the fruit of the Spirit, and it's revealed in our lives as we abide in Jesus, as we walk and live closely with Him and He in us, our Savior and our friend. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for the joy that you have given us. We acknowledge that oftentimes we do miss it. Oftentimes we pass it by simply because we're striving for, well, a wrong kind of joy. And so we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will enter into us so that your fruit of joy may ripen within us. And so, God, in seeking joy, may we abide in Jesus, and may Jesus abide in us, so that we may celebrate with that kind of enduring joy that lasts on into eternity. God, in the middle of our lives, whether we struggle with sorrow or anxiety, whether we wrestle with disappointment or discouragement, God, we pray that you'll reveal your joy to us and give us the courage to grab hold of your joy, joy that is completed, joy that you've accomplished for us. And God, help us to trust in that joy because we trust in you. And God, make that real in our lives. Make that joy something that reflects from our actions and reflects from our expressions and reflects from the way we live our lives. A joy that is confident in you. And so may no one ever accuse us of a deep down joy that never gets expressed. But may they see it. May they see it in our face. May they see it in the work of our hands. May they see that in the passion of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well then, go into this week, no matter what you face. And perhaps you don't face any laughter. Perhaps you don't face any celebrations. Perhaps you don't face any delight. But may the joy of Jesus' presence fill your heart and your life this week. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace.
Turn it. We will see a victory, and we do know that the battle is not ours, but our Lord's. This week, Nathan talked about the fruit of the Spirit of joy. And he talked about in our lives how we are in constant pursuit of trying to achieve joy. And in actuality, this joy cannot be achieved. It can only be received by God. And by abiding with him, we receive the joy that has already been created by him. So I challenge you to reflect and think about what that means for your life. We are glad to report that our Christmas catalog this year brought in just under $17,000. And we are so thankful for all the donations. And this money will go to the projects requested by our missionary partners and our missionaries. Every partner and every missionary will receive some money, the most popular items being chickens and socks and shoes. 100 chickens can be purchased for Nigerian farmers, and 80 children in Kora will get socks and shoes. Again, we are so thankful for everyone who donated. So as you go from this week, we pray that you are blessed and you feel the community of God around you, and you're empowered to go and serve your community.